this meeting work session on House Bill 28. George, did you put that on?
Ted Lou did.
Ted, you want to run through them and tell us what you're doing with the bill now?
All right. Basically, we're taking Section 310, 608, and amending it retroactively to January 1st, 1973, so that it clearly applies only to tangible personal property, and also that the definition of farm machinery includes equipment, so it's farm machinery and equipment. Now, to do that, we provide in line 21, we add the following words after means, the following tangible personal property. So it reads as used in subsection 1 of this section, inventory means the following tangible personal property. And your colon is in line 26. And then in line 27, after machinery, we would add the words and equipment. And then in section, on page 3, section 2, we would amend section 2 so that in line 3 it reads at the very end, apply to assessment and tax years. And then line 4, beginning on or after January 1, 1973. So that what we're doing is saying that this phase out all the way back to the first time it was put into the law really meant to apply only to tangible personal property, and it also meant to include not only farm machinery but farm equipment. And that's that much of it. Then we would add a new section, section 3, which you'll find on the first page of the proposed amendment. It reads, notwithstanding sections 1 and 2 of this act, ORS 310-608 is amended to read applicable for assessment and taxes beginning on or after January 1, 1978. So that in effect what you're doing is saying the first section is the law from 73 to 78, and we completely rewrite this 310-608 as we want the law to read from 1978 on. And you'll notice we put all the amendments in that were in section 1, except we take out livestock because we're going to have a special provision on that, and put in center pivots there. Just an easy way to make that switch. And then we put in the definition of, in subsection 4, of center pivot, which I did not draft, was given to me. And you'll notice on the third page of the amendment, the last line of the first paragraph, a center pivot constitutes personal property. So that eliminates any question. If we said this applies only to tangible personal property, this eliminates any question as to whether center pivots are personal property. We say so in the law. And then, so that means that after January 1, 1978, center pivots are subject to the phase out, and they do constitute personal property. We don't have any legal battles as to what part is, whether it's real or personal. Then as to livestock, since we're taking it out of the phase out beginning January 1, 1978, we have a section 4 here which states that it's exempt from ad valorem taxation, a provision for a 310-608 shall not apply there too.
Why did you have to fill that out of the other section? I mean, what were you reading?
Well, then you have two sections. One says it's inventory and subject to phase out, and the other section is exempt. It's just you don't have two conflicting provisions in the law. It's a lot easier.
I think that's until January 1st, it's in the phase
it's
out.
In the bill. Right.
January 1st, 78, then it becomes completely exempt. It's taken out of the phase out and just exempt it out.
Right, that's right. You leave it in section 1, which applies back to January 1st, 73, which has always been in there. And then when section 3 goes into effect, it takes it out, and section 4 makes it exempt from that time on. Just to make it real clear, I'd hate to have to come in, somebody ask me an opinion that is still in the phase-out section, and this section makes it exempt, which applies, and of course I say it's exempt, but why muddy up the law?
Okay, I have one question, Ted.
Yeah.
In on page 2, sub 3, part A, where you have the new definition of farm machinery and equipment, and you've expanded that and cover lives. And poultry and honeybees and so on. We're subject in all these to the phase out retroactively, aren't we?
I don't know if we're going to be able to get away with that. Moving to the
definition. You look at that, Joe? It looks to me like that new definition now is going to say that the sense 1969 that all these things were subject to the phase out, and somebody's going to put into some income. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the thought crossed my mind too. That the livestock equipment, which wasn't subject to
it, wasn't subject previously.
I don't have the total bill in front of me, but does that inadvertently say that they can ask for a refund on livestock equipment back to 73?
I think it does, but I'm not sure. If I read it, I would think that's what it says. And I know the farmer would be very happy with that, but I'm not sure that that's what it's intended.
What's the matter with that? Okay, I'm not sure I understand it.
Okay, we didn't. Farm equipment wasn't in the original phase-out law when they included farm machinery. So now we're saying that from 1973 to 1977, you're including equipment. Is that not right?
Right. I know you're right, but that would allow somebody to come in.
Yeah. So
what was that result?
That's going to have to be.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why did you do that in the first place? Why did you start to 73
to 77? Because I was instructed to do so.
To take care of the question relating to center pivot. That was the only reason.
Well, now we can change this, and we can have
sometimes leave, maybe we better leave center pivots on here all together and leave 781 and just go with your bill.
Let's go back and examine the reason that we want the law to go back to 1973 in the first place, George, and so that it only applies to tangible personal property. Is it only because of the pivot?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that case, then we have, if we solve that, then we don't have to go back and make this distinction.
So what would the change be if that other problem is going to come out and not bother and resist the fact that?
Well, then you simply you put in the following tangible personal property, and you put in farm machinery and equipment, and you put your center pivot definition in and make section 2 apply on and after for tax years beginning on and after January 1st, 1978.
Okay.
And have your separate section on livestock.
The January 1st, 1978 thing is covered in page 2 of the amendments, as far as the equipment is concerned. I said, don't try to go back and cover the pivots. We won't need the equipment, I don't think, over here on page 2 of the amendments.
Well, we won't need two whole sections amending the same section twice.
Yeah.
If we get rid of the center pivot retroactively and only look at it prospectively. We just go ahead and amend section 1 to include center pivot,
right,
negative effective 1978.
And the second one for livestock.
Yeah, separate section for livestock. Take livestock out of there. That's how this is about the third set of amendments I prepared, I think. The first book that
last
did that.
3 hours.
I don't know why
farm machinery doesn't include equipment. When we did that the other day,
apparently there was a court determination.
It stemmed from a legal opinion that we had in 1973.
We get jumpy about it. Why we ask the questions in
turn. The definition of what machinery is?
Yeah.
Rotating parts.
Well, I know, but I always, on my ranch, it was always machinery was the equipment.
All right. How about such things as,
first off, to get into the definition of planting, cultivating, and harvesting. All right, so there are some machinery that's not used in those phases. Tillage equipment, tractor, plower, disc, harrow, no problem. All considered farm machinery. Hay and forage equipment, same thing. Mower, the rake, windrower, baler, hay chopper, loader, stacker, simply cutter, all that. You get into grain and seed equipment. The grain tanks and bins, they're portable, they're not machinery. Orchards and row crop equipment, bean stakes and wire is not equipment, there's not machinery. Ladders are not machinery. Buckets are not machinery. Fuel tanks, water tanks, not machinery. Shop equipment, no.
Some of it might be,
yeah. But that's the kind of thing you're looking at.
Technical.
Well,
yeah.
That's what the law is. Technicality.
Yeah, and that stuff is used in the planting, coloring, and so forth, so that's the problem.
I thought it would be just down with a lot of stuff that didn't do that. Don't let that out.
We'll
be back and go.
Well, put the 73 provision in there and you got the refund.
Well, I think I better have.
That's the only money I paid on that.
Now, Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
I'd like to raise another point. Please understand that if we'd had time to get together off scene here, I wouldn't have to ask this.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Over here, we're exempting livestock.
and it simply says that beginning January 177, livestock is exempt.
Now, over in the other part of the bill,
livestock is just still in there.
We have the word for the product. Now, this is really relating to equipment relating to
the produce of livestock.
It says livestock, poultry, etc. there, meaning livestock is one thing and poultry is another thing, and fur bearing is another thing. Now, all we're exempting over here is livestock.
Yep. Well, now, another question is, what is the produce of livestock? Is that a calf? What's the produce of livestock?
Eggs, for one thing.
I don't know. What's the produce
of
it?
Poultry's part of that.
I wouldn't want to have to say that the calf came under the phase out and the mother came under the exemption.
Well, it looks to me like we should define livestock. Then wherever it's used throughout the bill, whether it's the machinery used for the breeding and management of livestock or wherever, we don't have to enumerate the livestock, poultry, fur bearing animals, honeybees, and dairying and so on.
And then
just have one definition of livestock, and then we can just say livestock from then on, and then that definition would include all of these things. Doesn't that sound logical to you?
Would you put the earthworm farms and the worm farms in livestock? That's the kind of question you have to answer.
Well, in the past, we've had to tell assessors, for instance, that the guy that had trout that he was raising commercially, either for people to come in and catch them by the pound, or he's maybe selling them to restaurants, those were livestock. Worms hadn't come up at that time. Nutria had, before we had the word fur bearing in here. And this is a constant little niggling problem, because there's always something new coming up you hadn't thought of. The next guy's going to raise canary birds for sale.
Yeah,
so
I think the intent of the governor, not the
trout
farmers,
but
the cattle.
Well,
okay.
Except that I don't think you're attempting at the present time to tax the earthworm farmer or the trout farmer.
Well, there have been trout farms on the roll.
Has there been trout farms
on
the roll?
The people raising kennel dogs have been on the roll.
Well, now are kennel dogs livestock?
That's another one. And these are real problems when the assessor gets right down to it. And here's a kennel in this county, like in Washington, they're raising dogs for the racetracks that are worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
you
bet.
Mr. Chairman, is there in the ag statute, is there any distinct, clear delineation of what livestock is?
I'm not familiar with the livestock statute as such.
We tend to, it's always a good thing to go look at some other section of law, but sometimes it doesn't help you because taxation, of course, so you can have your own definitions, you know. I mean, if it doesn't cover it, maybe clear enough for agricultural purposes, but not for taxation.
Maybe rather than a definition of livestock, it should be agricultural livestock and define agricultural livestock as those animals that either produce or used in the production of food and fiber or something of that kind.
Anything raised for commercial purposes prior to 1910.
Yeah.
Well, my thought on that would be that then the assessor is in a position to exempt all these major categories of livestock, but having to assess the minor categories, which are a little more than a nuisance.
I would move that Alan Howell give us a definition.
Well, you had a suggested phrase earlier today.
Well,
I was talking about it.
If you
an other livestock or something.
If you took the word livestock and then, like you said, make a definition somewhere to mean cattle and list of various kinds, but put in there, but not limited to.
Well, let's if we raise a question about something, simply should I answer the statute. Let's send over the attorneys for an opinion now on your earthworms. We got to answer that, you know what I mean? I don't want to give some attorney a question.
Oh, well,
no, that's wrong when I have them in there as livestock either.
Your assessors want to fool a lot around with trying to assess them.
How are they going to get a count on it?
Well, yeah. Make another one. Is there any question that make farmers livestock?
Oh, it's fur bearing on this.
Okay.
In the honeybees, this can't have come up before. That's why the word honeybees.
Honeybees has been included in there.
But only because somebody had this problem before and put it in.
Now, we included the law as it stands now, it just says livestock.
There's a definition somewhere, I think, in there back in the field.
Inventory means farm machinery, the plant, if you're friendly.
Yeah, but that's over under sales settlement.
All livestock and items obtained with purchase of credit material, so on.
Right, 308.
You're phasing out now the stop signs under the livestock division.
I would really tend to favor a definition of livestock as agricultural livestock as being anything that's used for or in the development of food and drug. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of coming off the wall, but.
Well, didn't I read where some farmers are buying earthworms to aerate the soil or whatever they do?
Well, I understand that they are using them for food supplements, some of the older people.
Well, there was a piece in the paper the other day, somebody up in Seattle was processing for human food.
Yeah.
Offering a $500 prize for the best recipe using worms.
They're extremely high in protein.
You can't, Tom.
They're extremely high in protein, in fact, no way.
I'll take two.
Well, beetles are eaten by some potatoes, aren't they?
Grasshoppers.
Slugs, and whether it's snails or like things that you find under rocks.
Slugs.
Not slugs, though.
No. Well, in 308215, it uses just the term livestock. And these are the categories to be set out separately on the assessment roll. And relating to personal property, and somewhere it says the Department of Revenue can, by regulation, expand, break the categories down further.
Did we do it in the regulation?
Well, that's merely for getting report totals, not for what it's passed.
That's true.
You're
not getting anything,
can you? You can't do that. You call somebody from Eastern Oregon. Yeah, it's a cattleman over there.
Oh. And a substitute. My board doesn't count.
Well,
we've never done
it,
but we have the right
set
right here.
Well, how did honeybees and did we get in there now?
Well, I'm wondering,
did
that came in
somewhere? It was an illegal opinion, I think. They were included now under livestock.
What livestock?
The honeybees.
Honeybees.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, this isn't a new concept, including honeybees as livestock. And when that law.
Frame,
well, you got one now. It's not a chemical thing. It's on honeybees.
You don't normally, but they are a farm food producing.
if you're the owner of 1,500 colonies, and that's your livelihood, you're farming like any other farmer.
Well, it's not a bad business right now,
no.
In case you haven't heard. I wish I had about 1,500
colonies. I'd like to have done cheaper if it's in our meeting over there.
Well, you don't like them.
Talk to this ratio to see the coyotes.
Yeah.
I saw one definition of livestock in his manual, but it didn't help. It's a
mule partner.
Ananthus. Another animal designated by the deferment.
Now be careful, Ken, you'll have to brand the bees, the first thing you know. That may be a little difficult.
Don't
you agree that probably we do need to define livestock?
I think so.
I think if we can do it, I think it'd be very helpful.
Either that or just go back to using livestock and let it be done by regulation, one or the other.
You have a clear intent that you want to either attack or, you know, what do you want to do with earthworms?
Either way, just to call it livestock and then get into your minutes that it means all these things, and then take some listen to the tape next year and write your opinion.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to include fur-bearing animals and honeybees, well, I think that earthworms are going to be just as legitimate a farm style, which is sort of future, so I would...
Well, I would have to make the same statement about trout.
I would think the trout would be too. I would really question why trout whether being farmed that way or not, be just as much a livestock as any other species or any other food.
We're getting into with the private salmon hatchery.
I mean, determine that warehouse is going to be in the future releasing 80 million salmon from most of the various species down there at an Newport. Say that have that included.
Yep. Well, and probably on January 1 of a given year, they'll have some of them at some stage of development.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we assume that what they're doing, raising the trout, starting a blue shot in the ocean for everybody to harvest upon, is a as a worthwhile thing, it's kind of hard to justify taxing them.
They're so close to breeding a non-biter that you can't believe it.
That could be.
Right, Mr. Chairman, you know it.
Talking to Bill, this isn't germane, but talking to Bill McNeil, who's a project biology director, that of those $80 million they want to have in 10 years, I guess $40 million will become, which comes down to the bite on the hook and line. But really, it's ocean ranching, just as a cattleman would graze his cattle on the BLM, they'd be grazing it on the...
There's 40 million fish. Well, I want to have 40 million fish. They get a 3 or 4% return. They'll be very happy.
Well, what,
still,
what do we do with oyster beds? Then we've had opinions before. Was that the oysters themselves, or was it the land area that we know we've had opinions about?
No, we do
have an
oyster
bed.
They're underwater.
Oh, I think that was like your question of the valuation of oyster beds.
Of the land itself, the rights for the land.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about the oysters.
Well, let's see. Wasn't there just a recent Locksmith's opinion that the oyster farming was not agriculture? I think that was Task Force. The outfit that raised oysters, Dan Lewis Oyster Farm, down on Hill Bay. Hmm. Or Yaquina Bay.
You got to get a farm
new
Task Force.
Well, I did the same thing in Coos County.
I don't think I would agree with tax for raising fish.
You think they're farming?
Sure. I didn't see that.
Well, anytime you're raising a living thing, plant or animal, or insect, you're in my opinion, you're farming in one form or another.
Does that take care of your definition?
Again, I feel it would be a... You're raising an animal for food and fiber. It's a farm operation. That's pretty broad, I realize.
Not even just, you just said for sale.
Well, that's for sale.
Well,
that doesn't.
What about racing horses and dog kennels and things like that?
That's what I'm
going to ask. That's why I say for food and fiber.
What, a dog for fiber, you think?
No, my definition would be for food and fiber. That would exclude racing horses and
raising crops and animals for food or fiber.
Yeah, now we'll have them back putting in the building.
And then the next thing, some guy says, well, what about bulls I'm raising to sell for tires? Now, they're not going to be for food or fiber. At least their food is very
well. Eventually they will.
Yeah, eventually they will.
Because they live longer.
As the same would apply, I think to a draft horse, although it may not be food and fiber itself, if it's used in the process of producing food and fiber, it certainly would be livestock and agricultural livestock.
Well, we're exempting here farm machinery and equipment used in the production of these things.
Yeah.
We're not exempting
the
item itself.
But when you go to section 4, it exempts livestock. We have no definition there of livestock at all.
That's right.
So that question is going to come up.
Right.
Are we intending to exempt these? Earthworms, fish, other things.
If we're going to leave it for a legal opinion to determine what livestock is, then it would seem to me, though, on line 29 of the existing bill, we should take out poultry through honeybees. And leave just livestock, so they could define it the same in every case without being biased by that wording.
Well,
either that or leave it for the department to do that anyway.
Well, don't you want to exempt the farm machinery and equipment used for raising bees?
Yeah.
Well, except that livestock, on the one interpretation, would be all inclusive.
Yeah.
Are you going to put bees in livestock?
Yeah. What is livestock? See, I think that really is the wrong term in there. It certainly isn't just limited to cattle.
You don't raise bees
to be
horses
or to be anything.
You raise bees.
But it means animals, doesn't it? Rather than birds, etc.
Well,
20 years
ago,
they said that bees were livestock.
Yeah, so it's almost contradictory right in that phrase.
Oh, I wish I kept my mouth shut.
Are you the one? That's right.
Okay, I think it's pretty well settled except for two problems. One is the question of adding equipment on line 27 if there might be some retroactive tax exemption being granted there, and you want to work on that thing, just look at that. Another one is, of course, that the intent for livestock I think probably the whole committee is going to have to make a decision on that. We might present the alternatives, and I think the alternatives are one that we try to define livestock within the law itself. Two, that we leave it up to the court. Three, that we leave it up to administrative rule. What's the other alternative? The one suggestion might be in the definition of it to make it as broad as possible, include everything you can think of in the term of livestock, and then when we get to the committee, we can go through and see what the sense of the full committee is as to whether they want to eliminate some of those. Include fish, include worms, include bees, everything. And then we can bring that subject up and find out what the consensus of the committee is as far as the final decision if they want to narrow it some. Is that clear? You think you understand that?
I think that that's
two things. I got two things. The question of amending it retroactively to include equipment because of refunds, and the other one is getting a broad definition of livestock and letting the committee make the final decision.
Yeah.
That's covered?
I think so. And the other item, of course, is the exhibit.
Well, we're going to hear from
Senator
Thorne.
We're going to hear from We'll find out a little further. We'll plan on having another subcommittee hearing, I think, then, when we hear back from Mike. And
okay,
and
you'll let us know.
What you guys come up with in the meantime, probably about the middle of next week. Okay. Fine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We got into a lot more than we anticipated, but I think it's been a little worthwhile meeting.
Good enough.